Choir, good morning, everyone. Let's stand together, please. Take your hymn books, turn to number 22. Number 22, one of Fanny Crosby's great hymns, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. Let's sing it out on the first verse. Here we go.
Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. Oh, what a
watch me when we get in the middle of the chorus. That's different than we've done before, but in the middle of the chorus, we're going to put the brakes on. So watch me as we hold those out in there. On the last verse now together.
Perfect submission. All is at rest. I am my Savior and happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, falling in love. This is my story.
Singing this morning, all the way now a few pages to the front of your book, number 4, hymn number 4, Be Thou Exalted, also one of Fanny Crosby's songs. Be thou exalted forever and ever. On the first verse,
be thou exalted forever and ever, God of eternity, the ancient of days, wondrous in wisdom,
but go ahead and take time and shake hands with those around you this morning.
Thank you.
thou exalted, O Spirit of power, dwelling within our hearts, to keep us from sin. God of the ages, and Lord of salvation, lover of heaven and earth, thy praises to sing. Be thou exalted by seraphs and angels. Be thou exalted with harp and with song. Saints in their anthems of rapture adore thee. Thine be the glory forever. Amen.
Amen. That's good singing. Thank you so much. You may be seated. And at this time, we have our ladies' trio that's going to sing for us.
High upon this mountain, the sun is shining bright. My heart is filled with gladness.
Thank you, ladies. I'm glad that God is good this morning. Amen. He's good all the time. I'm thankful that you're here. If you're a visitor with us, we'd like to get a record of your visit. Our ushers are coming forward, and they're waiting for you to raise your hand as a visitor, and they're going to bring you a card and a pen, so hold it up high. You see, most of them have glasses. They need it. except for Jevin, but he should be wearing them. So hold it up high enough, amen. And so he'll give that to you. All right, we're thankful for you being here. Fill that out for us if you get that card and drop it in the offering plate so we can get a record of your visit. It is, had a good Saturday, a little rainy around here, but we had our gym sale, and so we did pretty good, but we need your help in three different ways, all right? So this is like my three-point sermon about the garage sale. And so if you're taking notes, number one, help us restock this week. They bought up a bunch of stuff, so I know many of you were like me. You procrastinated at having your spring cleaning and weren't sure after you saw how much stuff they had in the gym whether you needed to bring your stuff or junk out here too, right? And so this week, we need you. We're a lot of empty spaces to fill it back in, so bring it out this week, take it to the gym, and do that spring cleaning. I'll do that this week. If you do that this week, let's do that and get those things out because we do need to raise some more money this week. We did have a rainy day, so we didn't have as much. Usually that first Saturday's a big one, so pray for us if you would, all right? Number two, I need you to help return. That means if you bought junk last week, come back and get more stuff, all right? All right, so come out and help us with that. We need to be able to kind of get more of that gone. And we're even going to have, so next Sunday, after the Sunday morning service is over, we're going to have reduced prices for everybody. So you need to go check it on Saturday to see whether it's worth it to get it on Saturday because it may not be there on Sunday when you wanted to get it at discounted prices. So go pay up for it. And then if not, come back or bring it back and we'll sell it back to you again on Sunday. And so, but lastly, the 3 points here is repost. And most of you may not be on social media like me, but if you are, or if you just know people that would come out to yard sales, help us get the word out. Last Sunday, we announced it. We've been announcing it on the radio, but there's folks that don't listen to our radio station yet. So tell them about the radio station and tell them about the yard sale as well. While you do that, that way they come out and be a part of it. We had all these signs that we set out by the road, but the city has rules about how close you can put those to the road, and whoever put them out put them where you're not supposed to put them. So the city picked them up. So we really need you to be the signboard and help us get the word out because we ain't getting them back. When the city takes them, they don't give them back. Amen. So help us with that. We had signs kind of giving directions. So we'll push it out on the radio. We want you to put it out because those signs aren't going to be able to help us with just through traffic. So really help us get that out. I'll just say this, if you would, please pray about just this missions trip and us raising those funds for it because we only have a few weeks left. We're going to have camp, and so that'll be the end of our fundraising at that point. So be in prayer, if you would, for all those things and help us restock. All right, you return and then repost and get it out there to everybody that we're having it again this week. Let me give you the details so you can tell everybody about it. June 7th from 8 to 2 p.m., all the proceeds are going to our missions trip, but it's that gym sale over there in the gym. If you have any questions, either for pickup, if you got big items, we don't expect you to bring them. We'll come and get them from you. If you have small items and you can bring them, great. If you need us, just pick up a bunch of stuff. Just please contact Brother James or the church, and we'll get that message to him, and he'll call you. We'll get a pickup made. We want to be able to do that. Then also, just around the corner, not this week coming, but next Sunday, we're going to kick off on Sunday night our Spanish Bible Conference. We've not done this in some years. We had one in 2015 when I first came, and we did most of that at the college, if you remember that far back. But they set out a conference and had a RVG Bible Society settling. That's the Bible that we use, just like we had the KJV, the RGV, or RVG. Yes. And so, again, so my tongue's getting behind my eye teeth and I can't see what I'm saying. So anyway, so for all of us, we're having that conference and it'll kick off Sunday night. And so some of it will be in Spanish through the day, Monday night, Tuesday night, and Wednesday we'll have Bible conference. So we're working on being able to have that translated, but we're not going to have an interrupter on Monday night and Tuesday night. We will do what the Spanish folks do and we'll put in the earplugs and we'll listen to it in English. If you want to come out, you're welcome to support it. But Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, and Wednesday night will be at 7 p.m., all right? So we're moving it up because of the Bible conference going to be right here in the main auditorium. Lots of Spanish pastors and missionaries coming from off the field, and we're looking forward to being able to have that this year, looking forward to Brother Bentoncourt preaching in that. So I want you to come out and support that throughout the entire week if you can for any part of it, but especially Sunday night. And also on Wednesday night. So be a part of all of it. And again, we want to do that because, again, we believe that the Bible, the perfect word of God ought to be in people's hands, not just in the English language, but in every language. There are people who focus very heavily and will hold the book up with us and preach the King James Bible, but they don't care about all the other languages, or they don't say that, but they just don't hold to the same thing that they do in the King James. And so one of the things we're doing with the Bible Conference is just trying to put that out again, that we want the purity of God's Word in everybody's hand, in everybody's language. Especially, thank God we have it, and it's undisputable in English, and we want to make sure that we're using the closest thing to the King James Bible in every language. Amen. The perfect Word of God. And so again, as we continue on with our announcements, Junior Camp is just around the corner. There are brochures in the back, but you can also register online now. And so you can go right to our website and register. If you want to give any donations to camp, you can just write on the envelope camp, and that'll help us send a kid. Next Sunday, we'll have all our young people that have earned their certificates. They'll get their certificates, and you'll get to see just how many young people made it all the way and earned their free week. Amen. As we turn our attention to the prayer list, have several on the prayer list that we want to make sure we mention that are new. One of those that we want to put out is one of our missionaries' daughters. Pray for 12-year-old Elizabeth Owens. This is one of our missionaries in Bulgaria. She is in the hospital for a recent, she had surgery on her arm and her leg. She was in a four-wheeler accident over there, and had plates and all kinds of things put in, had to wait several days in the hospital because the doctor was in the States for Memorial Day, and they had to wait till Wednesday for the surgery. It happened over the weekend and had to wait several days for this surgery. So you be in prayer for them. These are her mom and dad grew up in my home church and were teenagers with us and have served 25, 26 years on the field there in Bulgaria. Good people, our missionaries there. Jonathan Owens there, be in prayer for them. Also be in prayer for Miss Vesta Conley. She's going to have surgery coming up on June 19th on her leg. Continue to pray for those recovering from surgery. Jenny Williams, hip replacement. Daniel Jones, surgery for blockage in his leg there. Others that we have continuing prayer for on our prayer list, there are Ralph Hutchinson, Cindy Bradford, Russ Messersmith, Linda Donahue, and then also put on there, if you would, Miss Shirley Woolham. Be in prayer for her, that the doctors get some wisdom about how to help her with pain in her knee. And then those on our cancer list, Angela Wilkie, David Murdoch, and then Dan Canals. It says here that we're for test here, David Murdoch is cancer-free after treatment. So that's an answer to prayer. Amen. And so I hadn't got that word yet. Let's stand together. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer. We're thankful for all that God does and the work that gets done around here. Brother Tyler, if you'd come and lead us in prayer.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. Lord, we're thankful for Landmark Baptist Church. Lord, I thank for the missionaries we have sent out of this place, Lord, and the work that gets done around here, Lord. I pray you be with this missionary family right now. Lord, as you know that need, Lord, I pray you be with that surgery. It'll go well. Lord, I pray you be with our pastor this morning. Lord, I pray you just be with him as he brings the word, that you speak through him and give him your power. Lord, I pray you bless this offering. Lord, I pray you be with this service, that you would get the honor and glory out of it. Lord, we love you. We ask this all in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Much you may be seated. Our choir is going to sing for us now. I'm going to sing.
I'm gonna sing and I'm gonna shout and praise the Lord.
Amen. Thank you, choir. We had a little pause there in the middle. I apologize for that, but thank you for that, choir. Let's stand together again. Turn to 549. 549. In loving kindness, Jesus came. He lifted me out of the miry clay. Amen. He lifted me. 549. In loving kindness, Jesus came. My soul in mercy to reclaim. Yet on the lips of sin and shame, His grace hath lifted me. From sinking sand, He lifted me. With tender hand, He lifted me. From shades of night, oh, praise His name, He lifted. On the last verse now. Now on a higher plane I dwell, and with my soul I know 'tis well. Yet how or why I cannot tell, He should have lifted me. From sinking sand, He lifted me. Thank you so much. You may be seated. Before our message this morning, Brother Allen is going to sing for us now.
The drunk on the street, the rich in their palaces, the poor and unlearned, and the men of degree. So lost as a sinner could be. I am so glad God saves old sinners. I'm thrilled and amazed that He sets them free. But the biggest surprise in redeeming old sinners, He would save an old sinner like me. But the biggest surprise in redeeming old sinners is that He would save an old sinner like me.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Allen. Take your Bibles, if you would, this morning. Go to the book of John, the New Testament book of John, not 1st, 2nd, or 3rd John, but just John. Not that John, just John is bad. And I'm not sure it says just John in your Bible, but if it says John, amen, John chapter 11. John chapter 11. I feel like I've said it a lot, but it is good to be home. And My wife and I, we've been back in town this time, and hopefully we get to stay. We were looking at the schedule, and again, I'm not really going back and forth to Salisbury any, but we have some of our graduates getting ordained this summer and folks, things like that over the summer, and so we'll be gone a little bit here and there for Sundays, but thankful for Pastor Carter. If you would, pray for him. He's preaching at one of our graduates' places. Keith Carringer took a church in Hilliard, Florida. It's barely Florida. It's just on the border of Georgia, and so he went as far north as he could go before he left Florida and stayed there. Amen. He wanted to be able to see the promised land, but stayed in the wilderness. No, but he went really close, and then just about 30 minutes, 35 minutes up the road is another one of our graduates, Pastor Chad Stanley there in Waycross, Georgia, and Pastor will be with him tonight preaching. So pray for him for strength, that God will get them there. They're going up. One of their granddaughters getting married, so be in prayer for him for safety as he travels up there this week. John chapter 11, I hope you had time to find it. I want to preach a message today for the tape room. The title will be this, and for all of us, The Power of Tears. The Power of Tears. The Bible has much to say about tears, and for myself, as a child, this verse, John 11:35, meant something to me because we would have a fall festival every year, and the only way you could throw at whoever was in the dunk tank was to quote a verse correctly. And so my first go-to verse was always John 11:35. And I'll just say this, the words in the verse, because it's only a two-word verse, sure, it's shortest verse in the Bible that Jesus wept. But one of the most powerful verses in the Bible to realize that the God of heaven shed tears over an earthly relationship that he had with his friend. And for all of us, it's important for us to realize that the power of tears, tears matter, folks. It matters so much to us this morning. I want to just be able to preach and just, I pray you'll stay with me. We'll use our Bibles this morning and turn some passages. But I hope it'll be a help to you this morning because all of us through our lives will shed tears. Some of them are happy tears. Some of them are painful tears. Some of them are from emotions, both good and bad. But all of us will shed tears in this life. Even Brother Richard, he's not here this morning, but I'll still talk about him. He was in there for the ladies' banquet. We were cutting up like a bag full of onions for different things that we were doing. And he just was shedding crocodile tears. But my mom said, we're just fake ones. You know, he was just over there and I looked at him and he just... Both his cheeks just streaming down. That's how much he loves you ladies. He cut all them onions up. He's just crying in there. But you know, tears come for many reasons. And this morning, I hope that you'll just again open your heart and your mind to the Word of God and just what the Bible says about tears this morning. I want to pray and ask the Lord to help me this morning. And so if you would you pray that God would open your heart and your mind to the Word of God? Let's pray together. Dear Lord, we come to you. I ask you again, Lord, to use me as your messenger boy. Lord, this is your message. I pray that you just help me to be able to just, boy, let the Holy Spirit of God, I pray that you would take control, that you would preach the message that you want your people to hear this morning, God, and that I would just be your messenger boy. God, I pray that you would do a work that I can't do. Would you go, Holy Spirit, into the hearts and the minds of people, and then help us, Lord, to not only be able to retain some things from the Word of God, but also, Lord, it would change our heart about some things. God, I pray this in the name above every name, in the name of Jesus, I ask it. Amen. In John chapter 11, in verse 35, we'll begin reading. And many of you know the story here about Lazarus, but I want you to read it again with me this morning. It says, Jesus wept. Verse 36, then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. The tears marked a sign of something that was happening on the inside. In verse 37, and some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus, therefore, again, groaning in himself, the Bible gives us details about what Jesus was feeling. Groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha comes up. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou should see the glory of God? I do believe that sometimes in our lives, and I just want you to be able to listen a little bit, but also turn the passages with me, but power of tears in our life are powerful. Some of the most memorable times in my life have been times that shed tears. God broke me. God broke me through happy things. I remember the time that my first child entered this world. It was not a sorrowful time, but it was a time for tears. I can remember when God called me to preach. I remember when God saved me. And you may not be someone who sheds a tear often, but I'm just going to tell you, when God squeezes my heart, stuff comes out my eyes. For all of us, it's important. Now, I was raised, like many of you, a man's man, and again, men don't cry. But I often pointed out, when I heard some people say that, Jesus wept. And who's going to say that Jesus wasn't a man's man? If you were to realize all that he went through and still stayed faithful and went to the cross and all that he endured, being tempted in every point as we are, yet without sin. Do you know how many of us would have turned back if Calvary, we knew from our birth, was our future? How many of us would have taken the devil up on his offer and ruled the world and ruled sinners instead of dying to save them and set them free, so that you could rule and reign over people who could live forever? Folks, I'm just going to tell you, Jesus wasn't just tempted, but just like us, in a moment. And for all of us, there are times that we've shed tears and brokenhearted over things that we took the momentary satisfaction of the moment, rather than choosing something that was going to be forever or eternal. For all of us, those tears, all of those mound up. I just got considering the thought of tears this week, and I just couldn't help but just try to research a little bit. You know, I mean, for all of us, I mean, we don't always think about it that way, but I mean, tears are just, you know, I've tasted them. I don't know if you have, but they're salty. And the more I read about them, I realized how protein-filled every tear is. And it's something, and I read about it, and this was the consensus, all right? This is what the doctor said, that tears are, listen, for all of you that remember COVID, okay? This is what they said, they are essential. Tears are essential, all right, to see clearly. Do you know that your focus and your eyes would not be able to have clarity if it wasn't for the salty protein from the tears? Now, we don't always see them. When we get overwhelmed, they wad up and they come down our cheek. They do our eyes no good, but most of the time, all the time, they're constantly, that same product is going into our eyes so that we see clearly. How about this? It not only helps us see clearly, but it also maintains the health of our eye. Your eye, without those, that salt, you know, salt is a purifier. And the reason that it tastes salty to you is because your eye itself, think about always having some orifice of your body constantly being open, and dirt and things constantly going in your eye. Those tears not only clear out, push out the impurities, but they also help your eye from being infected on a consistent basis. It keeps your eye health up and keeps it going. And then how about this? Beyond that health, also they communicate to others. Do you know a tear running down a person's cheek will stop somebody in their tracks, and they'll say, you could look despondent, you could look depressed, you could be over in the corner, I mean, banging your head against the wall, and people will walk by you and just say, you know, I'm not asking about that. But if you shed a single tear, people will stop and say, what's going on? What's wrong? Can I help? A tear means so much to so many around us, and we don't think about it. Listen, even to the Jew who on a consistent basis was looking for some way that they could undermine Jesus or do something to him, when they saw Jesus weep over Lazarus, they went, oh. You say, what do you mean? I mean that people who hated him and could not wait to undermine him and one day crucify him, those same people, when they said, see how much he loved him. Folks, I'm just going to tell you, you ever seen the weddings? I don't understand it. It's a joyful time, and people are just crying everywhere at a wedding. It's a joyful joining of people, but people are weeping. And I always thought, man, it's not that bad. I mean, I know that this is like for the rest of their life, and I mean, you know, but I mean, I'm just going to tell you, for all of us, we understand that the joyous occasions and sometimes the heartbreak of those things squeeze us to the place where our emotions, they bring out the tears in our eyes. I've tried to be able to look through the Bible, and I thought about this. You know, Hebrews chapter 4 talks about that we have not a high priest. He's moved. The Bible talks about we have a high priest that's moved with our infirmities. Now, that means that all of our aches, pains, hurts, calamities of this life, that the high priest, Jesus Christ, who saved us, died for us, and rose again, and now intercedes for us. Think about how many tears he shed, not just over Lazarus. And if you think that the resurrected Jesus Christ doesn't have the ability in an eternal body to cry, then you haven't read the book. Because there's one day, not Jesus, but God the Father will wipe away all tears. You don't think that disappointments of this life don't still break the heart of our Savior, and he doesn't have to push back the tears. That the times of joy, when you do it right, when martyrs have stood for the cause of Christ, that it hadn't balled up a tear in the eye of our Lord Jesus and Savior in happiness, and if I could say it, in a good pride, that they had faith to stand in the evil day. Folks, I'm just going to tell you, we serve a great Savior. I want you to see in the scripture, it talks about another thing. For all of us who are Christians and know we're on our way to heaven, listen, you know, I'm a soul winner. You're a soul winner. We ought to be witnesses of Jesus Christ. We have tracts and we take our New Testaments and we go out and share the gospel. But you know, the Bible says the power of tears and soul winning changes everything. Look at Psalms with me. Psalms 126 this morning. The scripture says, listen, you say, you know, those that go and forth, we spread the seed. Boy, there's times, there's people that plant it. And there's people that water that seed. And then there's people that harvest. But you know what happens when you go out? Bible says, bearing precious seed, weeping. Do you know what they figured out when they started planting? Brother Danny, you know, they used to, back in the day, and they used to take big planters and they'd fill it full of seed and they'd go through the field and they'd plant the seed and they'd pray for rain. And farmers got smart. And they started filling huge tanks full of water and fertilizer. And they planted the seed and they would water it immediately when it went in the ground. Because that seed needs that moisture to be able to break forth and become anew and have a brand new plant that sprouts out. Can I just tell you, why don't we take one from the farmer? Maybe we should just take it from God's word and his word. And it says that if we would get broken over lost souls to the place that we would beg God to give us one, and we would be broken enough to realize the other person on the side of the door that's about to open it is going to die and go to hell without Jesus Christ. If we would be broken enough to shed a tear, it would change the person on the other side of the door. That what I came to tell them is so serious, I am broken at my core and am weeping for their lost soul. Look at what the Bible says. In Psalm 126, it says in verse number 5, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Way too often, our soul winning in this life is mechanical. It's required. It's punching a time clock and we go because we have to, instead of going because there is a great need, that there is a harvest. And Jesus said, pray for laborers for the harvest. Hey, folks, I'm just going to tell you, you know that there are so many that if we would take, listen, the harvest is already ready. Do you realize the harvest side of things is Jesus has already paid the way? The sickle that's going to be pressed into this earth, both in reaping for sin and judgment, and the one that reaps the harvest of the soul. I can't save anybody. You can't save anybody. I can't reap the harvest. But I can sow the seed, and I can water the seed all in one step. Do you know most people, when they realize that this, and when I go, can you imagine listening to the testimony of the Apostle Paul? And watch him. He talks about it. Listen, in the book of Acts, in verse 17, he stands before all the men, all the elders of Ephesus, all the different pastors and men, and it's the last time he's ever going to see him face to face. And he doesn't say weeping that day. He says, you've seen my manner of life, my humility lived out before you. He says, and my tears, my weeping. Do you know that most people don't realize how much we love Jesus until it breaks our heart enough for us to shed a tear? Most people don't understand how much it means to me to be saved until it moves me to tears. Can I tell you what it means when I go to the door and I share the gospel with somebody else? You say, preacher, I just am not a crier. Well, maybe you don't realize what you got when you got Jesus. Maybe you don't realize just what you got saved from. If we could take the Bible this morning and just take the contrast, Lazarus, who is in this passage, who is, listen, can I just submit to you this morning, the person that Jesus is crying over, he's not crying because he's not coming back from the dead. He's crying because of the sorrow of those around, the ones that had little faith. He's crying because he knows what he's going to do with Lazarus. In just a moment, he's going to call him. He has the power over death. He's going to call Lazarus forth, but you know what he's also thinking about? Just in the passage before, if you take all the Gospels and stack them up, in just the passage before this, Jesus is telling his disciples about the rich man who Lazarus sat at his gate and now is in Abraham's bosom. But the rich man climbs out and says, send Lazarus. Father Abraham, send Lazarus to come and put that just a drop of water on my tongue because I perish in these flames. Can I tell you, if we could take one moment of time and be dangled over the pit of hell and to hear the screams and the anguish of people who are spending eternity there, we would weep. We would be broken. We would understand the urgency. And if we're not careful, we'll spend this life and we'll, listen, salvation for me is enough. I do believe all of us, we're moved, man. When they come and they give us this mission gauge, has to go up and up and up because, listen, when they come and they show us a video of what's going on and children on dumps around the world and how people don't care about them, sometimes we're moved to tears more about their situation instead of their lost soul. And we'll give. But what they need more than an education and a home and people to love them is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because the one that loved them first and died for them is Jesus. Listen, missions ought to be provoked by love, not just for their earthly situation, but for their eternal. We're just going to get moved for those everywhere else that we'll never meet? Or are we going to be moved for our town? This is a mission field, whether you like it or not. Just this morning, I went down and we were talking about camp. You can't drive around here. You can't make your way to camp without realizing that tons and tons of people have moved into our area. We knocked doors. When I was in Bible college and when I first came back, there wasn't a street in Haines City or Poinciana. You can't knock the door. And they'd say, yeah, I know that church. Now we knock doors and they say, where is Landmark? Where is it at? Who's the pastor? You know, we used to say, I know that church, and they'd tell us about our standards. They'd say something else. I heard this week somebody heard that they heard that we were going liberal. Amen. I said, who told you that? Amen. You ought to come see it for yourself. I'm glad you're here this morning. Now, this morning I'm preaching on tears, but if you want, come back tonight. I can preach against everything. That's not really what I'm doing. I hope you'll come back tonight. But for all of us, listen, you know what? Listen, I want you to understand this. The heartbeat of a church is soul winning. And for all of us, we ought to understand that no matter our age or whether we can't do it like we used to. I'm looking at an auditorium that half the crowd, it's not a thing going door to door anymore. If you did, you might make three and have to get back in the car. But door-to-door is the only way to go soul winning. It is a great way, and we ought to. But how about just going drive-through to drive-through with a track, letter to letter, counter to counter, gas pump to gas pump, and leaving the gospel of Jesus Christ everywhere I go? You can imagine just leaving a track and somebody watching you put that thing somewhere that they might see it and they watch you prayerfully crying over the person that would read it when you pray, begging God that somebody would read it and get saved. Can you imagine? You don't know who's watching you. Who might walk, who would never have stopped to think about what that track was or anything that you were doing, but they saw tears in your eyes. And then they would make their way to find that track to say, what is in that piece of paper? What is in that piece of paper that would make that man cry? What was in that piece of paper that would make that woman shed a tear? The power of tears in this side of heaven is powerful. But how about in your own life? You know, we're talking about how soul wins and what it was in Jesus, but in your own life. David had something to say about this in Psalms 56. Would you turn your Bibles with me there this morning? Psalms 56, I want you to see in David's life some powerful things that we see ought to bring us to tears. It ought to bring tears to our eyes when we see some things that are happening in our own lives and what could change things. David is, if you take the context of the chapter, David at different times was on the run from Saul. And before he got his mighty men and all the group of people, David was really running and alone. And he found himself in the land of the Philistines. And he wasn't high. Listen, you kill giants of the Philistines and you're not highly regarded. David has to take to acting crazy in front of them, foaming at the mouth and acting like a weirdo. And in that time, listen, can you imagine having to act like that and be that person, but then on the inside realize, feeling you've been abandoned by your family, by your nation, by your king? He's feeling all those things, but knowing on the inside that you've not been forsaken by your God. Do you know sometimes, and David felt this way, and many times you may feel this way, everybody has abandoned me. But there's one that sticketh closer than a brother. There's one that never leaves you nor forsakes you. If you're saved here this morning, then Jesus is on your side and he's never leaving it. And it's important for us to realize that because we have all types of emotions and we'll shed all kinds of tears and we'll face all kinds of obstacles. But one day, listen, we're going to see him face to face. And listen, I thought this is powerful. David begins to write and he helps us realize that God is on our side and he is somebody that is watching over us. In Psalm 56, I hope you found your way there today. He goes on about how all these enemies are coming about him. They're going to swallow him up. And he's talking about all these different things. And in verse 8, he says, "Thou tellest my wanderings, put thou my tears in thy bottle, and that they not," or he says, "and they are they not in thy book?" He in verse 8 begins to talk about tears because the enemy's after him. He's been forsaken by his people, his nation, everybody that he knows. And by the way, his wife is still home with daddy that was the king's. And then he is out. Now he's got children and a wife and they're all separated from him and he's in his wanderings. Is he really? He says, "You know my wanderings. Thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears in thy bottle. Are they not in thy book?" Can I submit to you this morning that God is the greatest record keeper that's ever kept records? He's the one that keeps every record, every sin that anyone's ever been committed had to be kept on a record sheet so that Jesus could pay for every one of them. Every salvation is penned down. Every person that confesses with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believes in their heart that he was raised from the dead is written in the Lamb's book of life. When you get to heaven, they will check the record to see it, not if you did good or if you were bad or if your good outweighed your bad. They're going to look to the book and they're going to look in that Lamb's book of life and they're going to see whether your name is penned in the blood of the Savior. And they're going to say, "He's in here. Let him in." Hey, the books are being kept, and not just that, but folks, God keeps a record of your tears. God cares so much about your life and who you are that he pens every tear droplet that falls from your eye. Somebody in heaven is recording it in a book. Whether you shed it as happy, whether you shed it in pain, whether you shed it for someone else and being broken over them. He says, "Are they not in thy book?" Look at what it says in verse 9. I want you to pick this up, and this is personal to David. I want you to make it personal to you this morning. He says, "When I cry unto thee, then shall my enemies turn back." You see what David says? Crying, there's power in the tear. Do you know many times he waits. Listen, how many years have you cried over somebody to be saved? Or have you just been praying for them to be saved? Going forth weeping, but it sounds like, listen, when I'm under attack, Can I tell you what Jesus did? Can I remind you? I mean, the person who lived the perfect Christian life was Jesus Christ. He was about to go to the cross, unjustly, by the way. And the Bible says that he went and he begged God and cried. He cried to the place where he was sweating great drops of blood. Listen, I don't know about you, but I'm just going to tell you, for all of us, many times we don't get worked up. We say, God, help me in this thing, and we go on. Do you know what God sometimes is waiting for us? For us to get desperate. Can you remember a time in your life? Listen, I can tell you a desperate time in my life was when I realized I was on my way to hell. And that the only way I could receive, listen, I could get to heaven and avoid a devil's hell was to accept Jesus. He was everything to me. It changed everything. I'm going to tell you right now, tears rolling down my face, turning the pages myself while someone else read the scripture to me. I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. It meant something to me. Can I just tell you this morning, listen, he goes on and he says, when I cried unto thee, then shall my enemies turn back. This I know. Can you read that with me? Look at what it says. Read it with me. I know, for God is for me. Do you know many times that we shed tears because we think God has wronged us or God's against us? And the problem is God is waiting for us to cry to him, not about him. Not to feel wronged or depressed, but that God is for me. If we could this morning get nothing else from the passage of Scripture but to take home with us that there's a God in heaven who sent his Son to die for us, and once we've accepted him, that God is for me. He's not against me. He's waiting for my tears to be shed. Do you know what would move me into action as a parent? When my child would shed a tear. Mothers and fathers lay asleep when their brand new baby is laying in the other room, but it don't matter how far they're away. Listen, when they cry, what happens? Mama gets up. Daddy acts like he's not awake. You know what I'm saying? That's what happens. For all of us, we've got to come to the place where we realize that the cry matters and God listens to the cries of his children. And listen, by the way, God doesn't have any grandchildren. You don't inherit eternal life from somebody else. You have to go to God and ask for it, and you become a child of God yourself. He is listening for his children. He's listening for that cry. He's listening for the power of tears in your life. In verse 10, he says, in God will I praise his word. In the Lord will I praise his word. Do you know what we miss, and I believe is one of the powerful things in my life that I wish that every Christian would experience in their life? Is the power of the Word of God and its power. The Bible says that it can cut deep, dividing asunder the soul and the spirit. When the Word of God does surgery on me, tears come out of my eyes and they fall upon its pages because it's working on the inside of me. Folks, if there's never been a time that God's Word wasn't so precious to you that it caused you, brought you to tears, listen, I beg you to get in God's Word. David says, this tears that were shed, he says, listen, I will praise his word. In the Lord will I praise his word. He's talking about put my tears in a bottle. You keep a record of all of them. I would want to go to heaven, and on my record, I would want my tears to have been spilt because I've realized God is so good. I want to be able to realize from his word that there's some wrong in my life that the Bible says I need to get out, and I'll shed tears and I'll try to get it right with the holy God. Listen, I'm just going to tell you, when was the last time you cried over what the Bible says? What the Bible has told you when you were reading it? I want you to see another thing. I want you to just see what he says in verse number 11. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid of what man can do unto me. How many tears have we shed over what men do to us? Rather than knowing that we can trust in God. Listen, I'm going to tell you right now, there's a lot of times and there's things, and I'm thankful this morning that I can tell you there are times that I worried about what man was going to do to me. But I put my worry aside and I replaced it with my faith. See, fear and faith don't occupy the same person. They can't do it at the same time, so I traded my fear for my faith. And I said, God, I'm putting my trust in you. Whatever happens. I can't tell you how many mornings, and I'm not trying to build up our radio station. I'm just going to tell you that my faith, my heart is so full, I'll listen to what God has done for me in song. And it makes me swell up inside and all of a sudden tears will start pouring out of my eyes. If you saw me when I first, I have to gather myself. I'll be pulling into the parking lot of the church in the morning, getting ready to walk in with all those men, and tears are flowing down my cheeks because they're singing about that I'm redeemed. Folks, if it doesn't overwhelm you sometimes, how much you can trust in God. You see, listen, why in the world would you trust God with your eternal soul? Do you realize how heavy that is to be transported, soul, spirit, from earth and body to heaven? But we can't trust him with our bank account. We can't trust him with our everyday life. We can't trust him with the little things. But we're going to trust him to take us to heaven. Listen, that sounds so much bigger than all the trivial things on earth, but we hold on to the trivial things and give him the one that seems impossible. See, what God wants from you is he wants you to trust him with everything. With your family, with your life, with your pocketbook, with your, listen, your goings, your wanderings in this life. God wants every bit of it. He wants you to just trust him with it. Folks, I don't know about you, but I want to trust God by faith. Do everything in my life, not just one thing, not just the big thing, but all the things in this life. He's for me. He's for you this morning. Look on with me. He goes on and he says something that's powerful. He says, "Thy vows are upon me, O God. I will render praises unto thee." Listen, I don't know what vows or promises you've made to God, but one of the things that God did in my life was there was a day that I walked the altar after I got saved. And I said, "God, I'll do anything you want me to do. I'll go anywhere you want me to go." Listen, I wouldn't be in Florida today if God hadn't brought me here. I wouldn't be in this place. There are places in this life that are natural unto me to be in. It's unnatural. I was not born in Florida, okay? If I had chosen a place to live out of all the places in the world to go to, I don't know that I would have chosen this one because I didn't know what Haines City was. I thought they may, if you told me Haines City, I said, they make underwear there. That's what I thought. Hey, I'm just going to tell you, can I just tell you? God moved into my life. And because I said, "God, I'll do whatever you want me to do. I'll go where you want me to go." Tears. I can remember the day. I didn't move here just once for God. I moved here twice. Because I want to follow God and his moving, and both of them were tearful decisions that I said, "God, I'll go with your will and your way. I'll do what you want me to do." Listen, can I ask you this? When was the last time that the big move in your life was moved in your life because you made a vow to God that you would do it God's way? "God, I'll follow you. I'll do whatever you want me to do." Listen, the calling of God on our life is without repentance. Listen, family, church family, I'm just going to tell you, it's where we spend, listen, church matters. Where you go to church, what you do with your life, where you spend that time, it matters. Making vows to God, "God, I'll keep my kids in a church that follows the Bible. I won't stray away from that. Listen, not for anything. I'm going to stay the course and I'll go where you want me to go and I'll do what you want me to do." I want you to see, look at it with me. Lastly, verse 13. "For thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling that I may walk before God in the light of the living?" Not just in death, but in the light of the living. "Thou hast delivered my soul from death." I don't know about you, but listen, if you're here this morning and you're not sure of where you'd spend eternity, listen, David was sure of where he was going to spend eternity because he had put his faith and trust in the future finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. He hadn't seen it. He didn't know exactly how it was going to happen, but he believed it was going to happen. Do you know all of us, it's so much easier for us to look back and see the purchase of our salvation at Calvary that it's done and it's finished. But if David could have faith in a finished work that would happen, we can have a finished work. We can have faith in a finished work that did happen in Jesus Christ. I want to read one more passage of scripture today. I know I told you I was done, but that's what preachers do. Revelation 21. I want you to see this. I want you to read it with me because all these tears and all the things that happen, do you know all of them? I've referenced this earlier, but I don't want to just reference. I want you to see it in the Bible. In Revelation chapter 21, there's going to come a day for the saint that Jesus wipes away. God the Father wipes away all the tears. We talked about wiping Jesus's away as well, but I want you to see it here in Revelation 21. Verse number 4, the Bible says, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death. There shall be," what? "Neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." I just want you to see this. The Bible says that for those of us, listen, not only are we going to be transported to heaven, but one day the tears are all going to be wiped away. Now, even in the reference, and I know many people, I believe that wiping away of all tears, it's going to be wiping away some memories as well. If he's going to wipe away, listen, he's wiping away suffering. He's wiping away pain. He's going to have to wipe some deep memories and deep hurt on the inside of you away. To go into an eternity to have perfect bliss and to have perfect recall of who he is and what he's done, but to wipe away some of the things. Would you want to spend eternity thinking about how you broke the heart of God, or would you want God to wipe those memories away? Can I just tell you, listen, it's not the only thing in the chapter. That's for the Christian. Death will be no more. But in verse 8, he says, "But the fearful." Not talking about the saved. He's talking about those that are still in their sins, but the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters. And then he gets to the place where it gets us all. Most of us in this building today don't fall into any of those other categories. Maybe fearful, maybe unbelieving, but the others don't account for you. But this one got you all in here, and liars. You say, "Preacher, I'm not a liar." How many have you told? If you told one, it makes you a what? A liar. I don't know how many cookies. If you're like me, you ate that cookie and you told your mom you didn't. And it was all over your face and you got caught. So, you know, you don't have to be caught in a lie to be a liar. You just got to tell one. He says, "All liars shall have their part." Does that say shall? Just like the Bible says shall have eternal life, it says shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Folks, eternity is just going to fall out just this way. There'll be people who are saved and death will be wiped away from their memory. The tears, the pain, the sorrow will be wiped away. And the others, it'll be a different wiping away. They'll be taken from a judgment seat of white throne judgment, and they'll be cast into outer darkness to a place where really it's wiping away their memory, God's presence, absence, into a place where that burneth with fire and brimstone forever. Eternal death. Folks, I just want to tell you, the preaching this morning, listen, you don't think that there's not going to be tears and crying and pain and gnashing of teeth for that crowd? Do you know who I was? You know who you used to be? A part of that crowd. Until one day we accepted Jesus. And instead of being fearful and unbelieving, we came to Christ in faith. And put our faith and trust in him and his finished work, that he is the Son of God, that he did pay for all sin, that he did rise again, and he does sit on the right hand of the throne of glory, does have the power, I'll just say it this way, to save from the uttermost to the guttermost. If you're here today and you don't know Christ, if you're not sure of that, why would you spend one more day questioning your salvation? Why would you spend one more moment lost and on your way to hell? Give your life to Jesus Christ this morning. Can I say this to all the saved crowd that loves the Lord? Listen, there are things we talked about in David's life, maybe your Bible, getting back to reading the book and letting it well tears up in your eyes. Maybe it's just trusting God with everything. Maybe you took some things back from God and you're worrying about them because you're holding on to it. Why don't you give them back to him? Say, "God, I'm going to trust you with everything again." And I just say this, there are some things that we should not shed tears over, and there are some things that we are not shedding tears over that we should be shedding tears over. When was the last time, Christian, that you shed a tear over a lost soul? This morning, let's come to God and say, "God, help me to have a burden for the lost. God, help me get back in your word. God, help me to shed tears over the right things and not to be living in the pain and the sin and the things of this world, but to pray and to focus and to follow you." With heads bowed and eyes closed this morning, if you're here this morning, you don't know Christ, it's simple to accept him this morning. It's just to put your faith in him. It's just to simply confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead. And the Bible says, "Thou shalt be saved." But the opposite ends up in Revelation 21:8. And that whole group of people, it says, shall have their part in the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone. Listen, I don't want that for you. I hope you don't want that for you this morning. It's real, just like the Bible says it was. If you need to be saved today, I ask you to do this at the invitation. Walk down the aisle and let us take a Bible and show you how to be saved so that you can know that you're on your way to heaven. Listen, if you're a Christian today, I ask you, over all these things and the things we shed tears over, are there some things that David said in the Word that God gave us this morning that we need to shed tears over? Would you ask God to help bring those tears to your eyes again that are precious tears that God will record, and one day you just receive reward for the souls that were saved because of those tears? You'd have reward for the broken heart that you had for missions, and I could just name it all, but I pray that you would do what God asked you to do. Would you stand to your feet today? I'm going to pray. And when I finish praying, the invitation will begin, and I ask you to meet me in the front if God spoke to your heart this morning. Dear God, I pray that you'd be with us now. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would move and draw, and that people that need to be saved would step out and come. But more than that, the saved folks, Lord, help us, bring us back to the tears that we should have for the lost and for your word and for this, the way we should walk and trust you in this life. God, thank you for letting us know that you're for us this morning. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come.
Church, would you bow your heads and close your eyes with us? Would you pray? If you're here this morning and you don't know Christ as your Savior, this invitation is to you. We invite you to step out and make your way to the front. Let us take a Bible while Christians are praying, while their heads are down and they're not looking around. We're asking you, if you know that you're not going to go to heaven, you've never accepted Christ, then today is the day of salvation. Settle it today. Make your way to the front down the aisle. That's what this invitation, we're inviting you to be saved and to ask Christ into your heart. Would you step out and come this morning as Brother Bert sings?
Just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come, I come.
Amen. This morning, I'll just ask you to do this. Listen, if you would, be in prayer for lost souls. Amen. They're all over the place, all around. And you know what? One of the wonderful things we could do is invite them to be in church with us. You know, so many times people are looking for a place to find the answers. And we invite them to look at the Word of God with us. Sometimes they don't know what to do, and church would be a good place for them to be. And so this morning, as we close in prayer, I'll just ask you to do this. If you're here and you're lost and you know that, and you couldn't bring yourself to come to the front, would you meet me in the back? I'm going to go back there and stand at the door. I'd love to take the Bible and show you how to be saved this morning. It'd be the blessing. I shed some tears with you this morning that you got saved. Amen. Let's close in prayer. Brother Perkins, would you pray for us?
Let's pray. Father, we do love you. We do thank you for your word this morning. And Father, many times we do share tears, Lord. And Father, our tears and our hearts go out for the lost across the city, Lord. And Father, we just ask your blessing upon our city, Lord, and we pray that lost souls shall be saved, and we thank you to be part of a church that's out trying to witness and trying to get souls to you. And Father, as we dismiss this morning, Lord, we just pray that you'll go with us, bring us back safe tonight. We love you and we praise you for it. In Christ's name, amen.